So we're turning to this day's text, which comes from Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. And most of the daily light are exhortations. They are pastoral. They are encouraging. There is teaching and instruction, and there are many directions you can go from any text in Scripture, of course. So it gives lots of scope. But for the prayer meeting, maybe what was said is true. It would be a good thing not to do a Bible study so much as to think about something more devotional as we come before the Lord in prayer. So Hebrews chapter 12, and in the actual daily light there are just a part of these two verses, which comes from the middle, which is, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That's the part I'm going to take, but we're going to read a few more verses first of all. So Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Amen. We'll leave the reading just there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Now, Father, we ask that thou would direct our thought and meditation as we look at these verses tonight, and particularly, Lord, in reference to this first verse. We thank thee, Lord, for thy servants who have gone before us and who have compiled with prayer the verses in the order that they have. We pray, Lord, that thou would instruct us, and, Lord, that we also might benefit from them. For ultimately, what we have in this little book is the Scripture, and with connections running through it. And we realize that thy word is filled with connections. And we thank thee that as we read thy word, so many more of those become evident to us, and we are blessed. Be with us tonight, then, we ask thee, and help us as we think this evening, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I want to take 3 points, and still going to do 3 points, because, well, I'm Baptist, so you have to do 3 points. So the 3 points that I've split these verses into are the exhortation, first of all. Secondly, the earnestness. And then after that, the experience. So the exhortation, the earnestness, and the experience. Now, if you have a daily light and you want to bring it, of course, you can do so. But we're going to look at the text which it gives, and also the context of those texts, because very often in the Scripture, and I find this all the time in preparing to preach, that you find a text which, or a text comes to mind which has been suggested to you by the main text, and when you actually go there is so much more to learn about the actual text you started with. And so it's great encouragement to be able to see those things. So the first text which is given in the daily light is Luke 9 and verse 23. Now let's turn there, Luke 9 and verse 23, and see it in its context. Luke 9 Now we're thinking about the exaltation here. The exaltation. What is the exaltation? Well, it is the race that is set before us. So from the original text, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the exaltation is run a race. We have a race set before us. So in Luke in chapter 9 and in verse 23, which is the text given in the Daily Light, it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And so that's going on the context as it follows on. And of course, every text here, well, I suppose I could say it's my job to be able to elaborate on any text, so I could be preaching for hours here just doing that. But I just want to give you the context of those things which come before this text. So from verse 20 it says, "He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So we're thinking in that context of the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, how he must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Now we read that, don't we? And we can see how that the Baxter's looking at that text and praying over it and coming back to it and thinking, is that the best text that we can use? Can see a connection here with these very words, because it says, looking unto Jesus, and it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So the exhortation to us then from this text is that the Lord Jesus has gone this way before us. We are running a race that is set before us, but Christ has done that for us. He has run this difficult path. He has overcome that which was impossible for man to overcome, that we also might be able to run with him. And that's a great blessing to us, that the Lord has said that we should go with him. So let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, the other thing we can say about taking up the cross daily is that it is daily. And so we're not going to think, well, I dropped the cross yesterday and therefore I'm just going to give up. But daily we take it up. Daily we start again. And the Apostle Paul, and we'll come across this text as well, the Apostle Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark." And so we are to keep on getting up and going on. We're in a race. And we know that the athletes that run races are those who have failed many, many times. They have failed on their time. Athletes have a best time, don't they? And they're always striving to overcome it and to be better than they were before. But everybody has off days. And so an athlete may come and they may be running a steady time of, 15 minutes to run whatever race they're running, and they come in and they've been working really hard, and it's taken them 16 minutes this day, and they could be downcast and say, I thought I was going to do better today, I really felt good today, and they failed. And we need to remember that we fail, and we need to remember that the Lord Jesus knows that we fail. In fact, that is why he came into this world, to save us. And that we pick up in the next verse, which is Luke 14 and verse 33. Luke 14 and verse 33. Now this could be a discouraging verse to us, but again the context perhaps lifts us out of discouragement and encourages us rather. For we read there in verse 33 of Luke 14, so we'll read it from here. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Well, we can come across such a text as that and think to ourselves, well, I haven't forsaken all that I have. I don't know if I could even do that, forsake all that I have. We go back up the page a little further. It tells us there in verse 31, "Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Well, when we examine ourselves and say, can I be a Christian? We are likely to say to ourselves, I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I can be a Christian. I don't think I can walk in this way. In verse 28, going back up a little further, and it's in the same context. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And again, we could look at ourselves and say, well, you know, I've told people I'm a Christian, but I keep failing. I keep falling short. And I really should have thought about it a bit more before I became a Christian. And so we go up a little further to verse 25, and here we have another great discouragement. Verse 26, rather, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We can see the connection between this verse and the other. Unless he deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, it says, if any man will come after me. And so if we're running this race, is the scripture telling us that we have to hate father and mother and wife and children and brethren? How can we hate our children? How can we hate our brethren and sisters? Does the scripture not tell us that we're to love everyone? What does this mean? But then, you see, if you look at verse 25, perhaps there is the answer to that question. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. So he's speaking to the multitudes. Why are the multitudes following him? They've seen miracles. They've seen and heard what he says. They want to be his followers. He is not here talking to those who are born again and washed in the blood of Christ. He is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you have to walk like I do in perfection. And then if you go for verse 34, which follows our verse, it says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the Lord is challenging them, because the salt is Israel. And these were Israelites who were following him, but the salt had lost its savour because it wasn't trusting in the Lord. It was trusting in Judaism. It was trusting in the rites and the rituals. And we know that over and over again, people were not getting that it was by faith and by faith alone. And so they were falling short in that way. But we thank God that he has redeemed us. And we'll pick that up again in just a moment. Romans 13 and verse 12. Romans 13 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The day is at hand. The night is far spent. But in verse 11, going back up to it, in fact, we could go further up as well through the commandments. But it says this, love thy neighbor as thyself. And it says in verse 11 then, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We are trusting in Christ. We are being armed by him. We are trusting him. We are pressing forwards. We're running in the light of Jesus Christ. We're running by looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith. This is the exhortation, that we would take hold of Christ. Deny yourself. Take up his cross daily. We are taking up Christ daily. We are looking unto Jesus, who endured such contradiction of himself against himself. So secondly then, the earnestness. Let us run with patience. Let us run with patience. This is the earnestness. This is what we need, isn't it? We need to be earnest about our run. We are running with Christ, and we are seeking to overcome all that is contradictory to us, as he endured such contradiction of sinners to himself. Things are contradictory. We are running into the wind, in other words. Things are pushing us back. And for us, we don't only have the wind pushing us back, but we have so much of a weight of sin. We are to lay aside that weight and run with patience and so on. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. But there needs to be an earnestness and there needs to be a patience. Patience. And we sometimes need to be patient with ourselves and patient with the Lord and patient in our run. And when we fail, we need to get up and run again and keep on overcoming. Think of that, the film of Eric Liddell and how that he fell in the race, in the 100 meters race. And he got up and he ran on and he won the race. And we need to have that attitude. We are to keep on going. The apostle says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" But he's not saying only one of you is going to get there. What he is saying is, have that attitude. Only one of them has the prize, and so he runs as if it's only him who's going to get there. Have that attitude. So run that ye may obtain. It goes on then in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. I'll just read it from here for sake of turning pages, and some of you have turned it up already. 1 Corinthians 9:25, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." So here he is, someone, he is not running uncertainly, he has a purpose, he has a cause, he is running towards Christ, he is running to obtain, and he is pressing on patiently. And when he fails, he gets up and carries on again. He doesn't give up on Christ, because Christ doesn't give up on him, but he comes back to the Lord constantly and trusts that the Lord will bring him at last into glory. That is the kind of earnestness we need. So if we haven't done our Bible reading today, and we think, oh, well, I was going to read through the Bible this year, and we haven't done it today, well, don't give up. Just carry on. Just carry on. You've missed a day. You may have missed a week. But then pick it up and carry on. And try and build up the stamina. You know, stamina takes a lot of building up, doesn't it? I remember when I was 18, or thereabouts, I started to go out running. And I was never a runner. And at school, I was hopeless. I used to walk most of the run that everybody had to do on a Thursday. So with some others. So I was usually either last or the second to last. I try to overcome whoever was just in front of me to get to the gate before the last one, but didn't usually work. So I was very often the last one there. But when I started to work, I started to work out and go to the gym and so on. And I thought, really, I ought to do some running. So I thought I'd run around the block. And some of you know where I live, or I used to live, my mum and dad's house. And I ran around the little block. Well, I couldn't even run around the little block, and it's a quarter of a mile. So I was exhausted about halfway round. But the next day, I did it again and went a little bit further. Remember, I was 18 then, so stamina builds up a bit quicker than it does as you get older. But I ran a little bit further. And then I ran round and to the top, because I would go out down Carlton Avenue and run to the top of Carlton Avenue. And that was as far as I could run. And then I managed to run halfway down Carlton Avenue. And I thought, well, instead of running to the house, the next time I ran up to the drive. I think it's the drive or Baber Drive. It might be Baber Drive. So I did that bit and added that on. And then I went up to the Crown and Scepter, which is no longer there. It's a pub. I didn't go in the Crown and Scepter. I just make that, you know, clear. But I ran up to there and then back home. And so I kept on adding a bit more and a bit more and a bit more, getting further and further and further away from home till I was running about 3 miles a night. But you have to build up stamina. And the problem is so often with Christians is they fail and think, oh, I can't do this. But you failed once, so don't fail in that way again. Do a little bit better next time. And do a little bit better the next time after that. And so build up stamina, spiritual stamina, until we are walking with the Lord. In Philippians next, and chapter 3 and verse 13, Philippians 3. Here the apostle is, there's that verse which we noted before in verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." But what is the basis of him pressing toward the mark? It is Jesus Christ once again. We return to the Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by Christ Jesus." So he is resting upon Christ, but he is not saying, "Well, I'm saved now, so I can live as I like." He is saying, "I'm saved now, and so I want to know the power of Christ. Now I want to go on and know more about Christ. I don't want to just be saved by the skin of my teeth. I want to know the blessings which are in Christ. I want to know that because Jesus died for me, he has given me power, the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death." And he says on another occasion, doesn't he, "I die daily." And it says, "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So we have this wonderful power which is in Jesus Christ, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. So that's the earnestness that we have. And then finally, the experience. And the verse which is given there is Hosea and chapter 6. So Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. And there it says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord." No, that's not the right verse. No, 6 verse 3, sorry. "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Then shall we know, the experience. Paul wanted to know. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So he wanted to know the apostle. And this verse says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." But the most wonderful thing again is what we see before it. And that is, "Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." So bring this into the context of what we've been saying. We failed today. We didn't do what we intended to do. We've fallen into some sin, which we had definitely said that we weren't going to do ever again. And because of that, we are now downcast. But here we read these words, "Let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us." When we think about "he hath torn," it's our conscience which is bothering us. That's why we feel it hard to come to the Lord in prayer. That's why we find it difficult to stand up and carry on again, because our conscience has bothered us and is bothering us because we've failed him. But here it's saying, it is he that hath torn, but it is he who will heal us. So let us return to him. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. And then these wonderful words, "After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord." In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. What was it Paul says in Philippians? "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection." It is the resurrection power that is ours. So Christ is the one who raises us up over and over again throughout our lives if we know him. And we keep on getting up and pressing onwards and don't give up on ourselves or don't give up on the way, then we will overcome. And the Lord will bring us at last into glory. And so, even in a place such as this, as we're coming to the Lord in prayer tonight, we might think, "Well, I don't know if I can pray." I know times when I've been in the prayer meeting and thought, "Oh, I'm just such a failure. I can't pray out loud. And I don't know what to say." And the most words come to me is, "Oh, Lord, what can I do? What shall I do?" And sometimes we can feel like that. But we are to lift ourselves up, look unto the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, and press toward the mark. And we shall overcome, and we shall gain the victory. So, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not forgetting the rest of the passage, which talks about chastisement, and how that every son is chastised. And that chastisement, in the form of our conscience, and that which bothers us, is the Lord. So let us rise up, return unto him. He hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to us and encourage us, each one, to press on with him.